That's Miko and Abina are here from Bulgaria. They represent more than Bulgaria. They represent the king, the kingdom. And so it's really good. So I just want to ask you to come. We're just going to extend our hands to just bless Miko. And then if you know, like Abina does the coaching in the front. So I think she's the team. And so we're going to pray for her too. I think I may need Helen and not, you know, some of the folks here to coach me. You know, hey. But I don't pay anyone any attention to that, so it's not going to work. Lord, we thank you so much for Miko. We thank you, Lord, for this man of integrity and passion. We ask that you would speak truth into our souls and spirits today. We bless Miko and Abina as they travel with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And may the school that they're doing online continue to be prosper by you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us.
So good.
Who was the bodybuilder?
I'm still building the body of Christ. Oh, praise God. Amazing ones, greetings in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, we love you so much and we highly appreciate your friendship and everything God is doing with you. And most of all, for the great privilege to partake, you know, with the ministry and your church and the leadership. And I'll tell you a secret, Albena whispered in my ear when the praise and worship started. And she's whispering in my ear, I love this church. If we were living in Washington, D.C., that's the place where we would come and just, you know, be part of. And no joke, absolutely, God is here. He's just pouring over us, and we love you guys. It is amazing. Praise God. And Pastor John, amazing job. Thank you for the hearts you guys have for the nations, and especially for the region of the Balkans. A lot of conflicts, a lot of history also, and great background. And it reminded me of the Macedonian men, because, you know, that region 2,000 years ago was called Macedonia. And 2,000 years ago, Paul, the great apostle of the Gentiles, saw a vision from God. Isn't that amazing? Exactly from that region, there was a Macedonian man crying out, come help us. And I really believe this call is still echoing in our generation and touching our hearts, and that God has an ancient well for these precious people right there. And what he started in the beginning, I believe he is able to bring it to the end and to perfection. Yeah, and just wanted to thank you for supporting, sustaining, friendship, everything, prayers, highly appreciated, because God is doing a great job with our small ministry. And just the glorious gospel, the school we opened like 4 years ago, is spreading all over Europe and Bulgaria mightily sweeping Europe, you know, and churches. We have 330 students this year, constantly increasing the number. Apostling started an apostolic network for 35 pastors, which we are currently training and equipping. And they are in the school, but we have also personal, time, fellowship, and impartation into their lives. And last week we had a Zoom meeting with them, and the responses were just tremendous, amazing, how God is transforming and changing their lives. And you know very well that if the pastor is touched, if the pastor is transformed, that will also impact the congregation. So we are greatly, greatly, excited about this tremendous job God is doing with the same message 2,000 years ago, carries the same power which was in the beginning. Because the Word of God is incorruptible. You see, no expiration date, precious people. No expiration. You open that old Bible, I'm telling you, it becomes fresh, new, and alive, and can change your life in an amazing way. Praise God. So thank you all for giving us a hand to continue strong. And we love you dearly. Praise God. So for today, I have two mics, but I will continue with this one. Praise God. Whew. Let us prepare our hearts for the Word of God. You know, I believe I am anointed. I believe the Word is anointed, but our hearts also have to be prepared, you know. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we honor the amazing Word you have given us in the face of the glorious gospel. And for this precious time we have gathered together, we yield, we open our hearts, we trust you, Lord. We just lower our minds and elevate our hearts to you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, let every mountain be leveled and every low valley be lifted up. And it speaks about the natural mind and it speaks about your heart. Amen. So may the Lord bless us with his plans and kind intentions according to the book of Ephesians. He still continues with that. And I put a title because the leadership asked me for a title. And I put a title, The Power of God Sets a New Beginning. So be prepared. It's not just information, precious people. It's an impartation of a new revelation. So this afternoon, we will receive the engrafted Word of God, which God will impart into our beings, into our hearts. And we believe that He will bring new life, transformation, and great, great increase of whatever He has already given us. So I want to turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Okay? And this will be the story on which platform we will just step and place our expectations and faith and open our hearts, because it is a prophetic. It is not just something related to Chronicles, to history. I really believe those things are written literally. They happen literally, but they also carry a new level of revelation, prophetic influence over our lives. And sometimes you read about Jacob or Isaac or Abraham or this king or David, and suddenly a new source of information opens right into your mind, into your heart, and God starts pouring out encouragement, pouring out understanding, pouring out power to sustain you and support you, to rise up and be the man and the woman He has called you to be. Praise God. So this is powerful, folks. Listen what the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 29. Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. Now listen to this. Verse 3. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Then he brought in the priest and the Levites and gathered them in the east square and said to them, "Hear me, Levites, now sanctify yourselves, sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry out the rubbish from the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. They have forsaken him, have turned their faces away from the dwelling place of the Lord and turned their backs on him. And listen, they have also shut up the doors of the vestibule, put out the lamps, and have not burned incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel. Therefore, you know, the wrath of the Lord fell upon them." And then, "For indeed, because of these, our fathers have fallen by the sword. Now, it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, don't be neglect now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that you should minister to him and burn incense." Now, this is the very good part. Verse 12. "Then these Levites arose, and all their names are given 14 in number." Okay, I will not read that. "And they gathered their brethren." Yes, yes, yes. Say thank you. "And they gathered their brethren, sanctified themselves, and went according to the commandment of the king, the word of the Lord, the words of the Lord, to cleanse the house of the Lord. Then the priest went into the," listen to this, "inner part." They started from the inner sanctuary, from the inside out, from the inner part, okay, of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out, inner part, brought out all the debris that they found. All the debris that they found in the temple of the Lord to the court of the house of the Lord, to the outer court. And the Levites took it out and carried it to the brook Kidron. Now they began to sanctify on the first day of the first month." Come on, folks, do you getting it? Yeah, just wait for the revelation to start kicking out. "Now they began to sanctify on the first day of the first month. On the eighth day of the month, they came to the vestibule." So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days. "And on the 16th day of the first month, they finished. And they went to King Hezekiah. They gave a good report. And next day, on the 17th day, Hezekiah king entered in the temple and the worship service started and was restored." Absolutely amazing story. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This story for us today has a prophetic meaning because it points to another king. Like Pastor John was prophetic this afternoon when his prayer started, he called King Jesus. He's king and priest. And you know, this king is currently in power. Isn't amazing that when Hezekiah stepped into the office, immediately when a new king came in power, immediately a new beginning, a new season, I would say a new era started and begun. And there was a passion, there was holy intention and zeal in his heart for the house of the Lord. Not neglecting, not being interested in other things, but first thing, he wanted the temple to be restored and start functioning as the Lord has intended in the very origin. Whoo, thank you, Lord. This is so beautiful because you see, the Bible is giving us numbers. The Bible is giving us dates. The Bible is giving us details and a lot of information about these people. And God opened my eyes and I saw something. You know, Hezekiah translated in English from Hebrew means the power of God. Oh, God is powerful, but maybe more for more clarity, the power of God. When the power of God steps in action and in the office, you know, immediately first result, the target is the temple. And, you know, he started with the appointing the Levites and on a purpose to cleanse and get out all the rubbish, all the garbage, you know, the debris and the deposits out in the outer court. They sanctified, dates are given, and it speaks of something amazing. Because listen, according to the New Testament, God is not dwelling in earthly, in buildings made of stone and stuff like that. Man, you and me were appointed to be and become the sanctuary, the temple, of the living God here on earth. Jesus said, God is not dwelling in buildings made of stone. God will dwell in your heart. Many times, you know, Paul, who carried the magnificent revelation of the mystery of Christ, would address the church and the believers. Don't you know, have you forgotten that you are the temple of the living God? You actually are a sanctuary. And if you read the Greek word, it points not to the outer court. The Greek word points and explains the holy of holies. You, your heart, not just your body, your inner spiritual born again nature. Since you know, the Bible speaks something very significant in this story. First month of his reign, immediately he establishes a new beginning. And I really believe that happened with Jesus, with the start of his reign and resurrection. There was a new beginning introduced to humanity. When Jesus was raised on the third day gloriously, he appeared to his disciples, and the first words he proclaims over them, praise God, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And he breathed upon them for this glorious restoration. Now let me ask you, where man is appointed to receive the Holy Spirit? The very Spirit of God. Not in his intellectual mind, not just in his physical members, but right into that old temple which was dead, which was stricken with the garbage of this world, which was under the influence of the prince of this world. You see, in that story, there was a former king in charge over the nation of Israel who was wicked, okay? And because of his wickedness, the temple turned into a place of darkness, garbage, wasted, you know, waste and stuff like that. New king comes in power. He establishes a new beginning because the Bible says the beginning of all beginnings, first month, first day, first year, praise God. Entirely new beginning. He steps in the office and his target, his goal, his focus is right on the inner sanctuary. And when Jesus came in power and when Jesus was raised, he introduced entirely new era and season. And his goal and focus immediately is man's spiritual, inner nature to be sanctified, to be born again, and to become a dwelling place for the Most High God. Right on. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. This is so powerful, folks. This is so beautiful. Because let me remind you, you are not a target of religion, dead religion. It is a good religion. I'm very religious, but there is a bad religion also. There is a good teaching, there is a bad teaching, okay? But you are appointed. You are appointed for the glory of God. You are appointed for His presence. You see, the Bible is giving us details that there was no incense offered into the dead temple. There was no sacrifice. Even the lamps were not burning with oil, not supply. It was cold, dark, stinky, and there were rats and garbage. That's your old nature. That's being born after, the image of the first Adam. Paul describes with the terminology, dead in our trespasses. But you see, Jesus came on a purpose, may restore us, may save us. And you see, that target, as I told you, is not just to become traditional in some, outward expressions of traditions and church liturgies and stuff like that, although God can use those things, but there is more. There is more. Your heart is the target. Go into the sanctuary. He restored the doors of the temple. Oh, now there is a holy traffic. You don't receive every information from outside because the doors were broken. The doors were tilted. The doors of the temple were not working properly. I'm telling you, foxes can come in. I'm telling you, snakes can come in. I'm telling you, the dust of the world and the garbage of the world, brought from storms and stuff like that can just deposit dust and branches and leaves, dry leaves and stuff like that. It was bad, folks. It was bad. But Ezekiah, the power of God came in the office. Immediately when Jesus was resurrected, he said, all power, all authority is given now unto me. You go preach, you go minister, you are going to be equipped. You will become, I'm telling you, a dwelling place of the power of the Holy Spirit. And he immediately, first thing, he fixed the gates. He fixed the portal. And I'm telling you, immediately when you get born again, God is raising a door in your mind, a door in your heart. You don't allow anymore the garbage of the world to enter. You are made pure. You are made holy. You are sanctified unto him, praise God. The world is not an object to follow, to relate to, or to even draw anything from it. We draw now from the inner sanctuary. And it's amazing how the Bible is giving us details. It started from the inside out. It started from the inside. I'm telling you, if God doesn't touch you on the inside, if you don't get renewed and born again on the inside, your body, your flesh, your intellect doesn't possess the power to overcome sin, darkness, and everything which we inherited in our fallen nature, even sickness, praise God. But once you get born again, you're sanctified on the inside. Come on, folks. You see how wonderful is that? The power of God sets a new beginning, a new season for your life. You don't belong to the world. You don't belong to the garbage anymore. You don't belong to this world, to the prince of this world and the darkness. Now something is burning in you. Now a pleasant aroma, Christ in you, the hope of glory. How wonderful is that? And you see, they took the garbage outside of the sanctuary. God has sanctified you from the in. You even still don't realize fully, completely, what a tremendous change has taken place in your heart. That's why Paul is constantly reminding us and constantly turning our focus, our attention of who we are spiritually in Christ Jesus. What is your new spiritual identity? What has happened to you and what are the purposes of your new existence you are called for out of the sphere of the old life? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Even the dates are given. And you know, for 16 days, who cares? Come on, folks, give me a break. Why the Lord would give me this information, for example, these details? You don't know, you don't care. I mean, something happened like thousands of years ago. And this date, what is so significant about this day? So you must have knowledge and understanding about it. Or let me remind you on a purpose to teach you something. For 16 days, they were working, taking the garbage out. On the 16th day, they went to Hezekiah. And they said, it's done. The job is done. It's all cleansed. It's sanctified. It's purified. It is ready. So what happened? What happened? Next day, Hezekiah goes in the temple for worship, for service, for ministering, burning incense, starts functioning and being restored and starts functioning in a new way. On which day? Day 17. Because for 16 days, they finished. They went to report to Hezekiah. Next day, which is the 17th one. Haha. Now, let me ask you something. Which day Jesus was crucified as a Passover lamb? Because Paul calls him, Jesus is our Passover. Okay. On the 14th. Nisan. Okay? You know that. Day 14. Which day Jesus was brought back to life victoriously? 3 days later, do the math, on day 17, Jesus manifested as a new creation, not just like Jesus, but like Christ, who never dies, has power, has the keys, has the power, the authority over everything and all. And that's day 17. And he breathed upon the disciples and they got filled and with the Spirit. I was looking for a word, but it doesn't come, you know. And immediately got empowered and boom, from that moment on, humanity was restored, and humanity now possesses God in them, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Absolutely amazing how God put that story on the pages, and we sometimes run and we think it's only for Ezekiah, but actually it's not only for it. It concerns you and me, because today we are a temple. We are a sanctuary. We are cleansed on the inside. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. The power of God. The power of God lives in you. Only the power. You know, the Bible says through Paul, remember that when we were still without power, Christ died for the ungodly, and the flesh, the law, you know, the system of the law was weakened and couldn't perform well. Why? Because of the weakness which was in our physical, fallen nature and flesh and stuff like that. But Christ died for the ungodly, and you know, he brought back the power of God for new life in you and in me. So my bottom line, my point today is, folks, we cannot remain the same. We came, we believed, we received Jesus, okay? We got born again. Then what? Are we going to continue to live as the same person, the same way, the same manners, the same culture, the same background? No, no, and no. Paul says, there is no more power over you according to your origin, according to your background, according to your cultural this or cultural that or whatever it can. Now you belong to heaven. You are heavenly. You belong to God. You have a divine origin. To them, to those who received him, he gave the power and the authority to become children of the Most High God. Oh, praise God. You step on this earth in your personal, you know, spheres of life, but it is not that body anymore. It is a new spirit I will put in them. New spirit I will put in them. This house on the outside was the same. Are you with me? But on the inside, it was changed, transformed, cleansed, sanctified. New activities started on day 17. When Jesus was resurrected, humanity was appointed not to be a dwelling place of unclean spirits and demons and darkness and rats and stuff like that, but a new life, pure and holy, bringing pleasure to the heavenly one for whom we were all created. Are you with me, folks? You know, angels were created for whom? For us? No. I think originally angels existed before man. Amen? And they were created to minister and to serve God. He was their creator. You see? But we, praise God, we are even more than that. We are even more than the angels. Can I remind you, Revelation chapter 5, you know, all heaven singing a song, all heaven bowing down, cherubim, angels, seraphim, every creature, elders, 24 elders, you know, these are not... these are heavenly beings, okay? And all of them prostrating, casting their crowns, worshiping on one purpose and on one thing only. The topic of this joy, of this worship is, worthy is the Lamb who has been slain and has redeemed people, nations, tongues and stuff like that, you know, from all over the world for to be his priest, to serve him, to belong to him. And I was amazed to see that this song actually belongs more to us. Amen? Because we are the redeemed ones. We should be rejoicing more, singing more, and worshiping more than heaven, because an angel can say, okay, but that doesn't concern me. But they were totally, blown away, swept away by what our Lord did, you know, for us in such a manner that the whole heaven is worshiping and bowing down because of this cross, because of this salvation, because of this redemption and shedding his blood. They are absolutely, absolutely amazed. And how much more you who are the object. You became the object. He didn't die for an angel. He didn't send his spirit to an angel. He sent it to someone who was dead in his trespasses and blind and made you a dwelling place forever and ever. We will be with him. This body will change. Your spirit will never change. Your spirit is attached to someone who doesn't die, who lives forever and is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm telling you, Paul says, you are one spirit with him. Who unites with the Lord is one spirit with him. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Can you feel like when you just come to pray, when you just relate your identity, personality, and life to God. Can you feel the incense on the inside? That it is different from before. The joy which we experienced, the excitements which we experienced before were related to futile things. Now you became and you experienced something, that sweet aroma unto salvation of Christ in us. And it is so different from what the Lord cherishes. It is so different with this lampstand in you burning oil, you know, and bringing enlightenment and revelation. I'm telling you, we get acquainted with the realities of heaven, but more with the realities of God himself. Paul doesn't say, I want to know heaven. No, Paul says, I want to know him. I want to have and possess him and the power of his resurrection. Okay, his resurrection is a new life. God in power manifested on earth on the third day. Now he is, freely granting access, ability, and identity to each and every one of us. Religion, you know, is an outward performance, is an outcome. It is just something which has to be and is appointed to be a revelation, to be just bringing on the surface of our lives what God has already done in you. When we sung this morning, there was a natural sound, melody, words which relate to our minds. Have you noticed that it actually went deeper than that? When we were in the world, it was not going deeper. You know, but now it goes deeper and you get something boiling, just something on the inside working, and amazing things are happening. And what is the result of the thing? You become more God-like. God-like. Praise God. Let me give you another story, because Paul's theology is very difficult to swallow up. To be honest, of course, I'm very humble because I'm standing in one of the greatest theologies, you know. But still, I know a few things that when Paul started writing his letters, he made up words. These words were not available before Paul started preaching, teaching, and writing his epistles, because there was no such a reality to be acquainted with. I mean, it is a new day. It is a new season. Christ risen, Christ crucified, Christ risen. That mystery Paul was trying to explain to us and put in words. And he is using words, big words, reconciliation, redemption. You know, I can go on and on, which actually were not
used in that way. They are presenting a glorious reality, which is beyond our understanding, human mind, human understanding, you know, and the way we function in this world, because that matter is spiritual. That's why sometimes we need types, shadows, pictures, in order, as the English goes, a picture is worth yet a thousands of words, okay? So let me give you another example. Do you remember that story which is found in 1 Samuel during the time of Eli, the priest, and his sons, which were wicked? And for some reasons, the Bible says the Philistines captured the Ark of the Lord. Because the priest took the Ark of the Lord out of the sanctuary to bring it to the battlefield in order they may use it like magic stuff, like something which will destroy the enemies. You see, but God is working even in the Old Testament through the hearts of men, not just through objects. Are you with me? Objects were important. Don't get me wrong. You know, you touch that Ark and heavy consequences, okay? But still, he was working through the hearts and through the attitude of what is on the inside. And they used it, but they failed miserably. They died, and the priest and many people died, and the Ark of the Covenant was captured by the Philistines like a trophy. Finally, in their understanding, is like, oh, we got they object of power and strength. Now we will deprive them from it and we will always rule over them. And they take this ark and bring it where? In the sanctuary, in the temple of Dagon. Are you with me? Are you following? That's very, gets very interesting, okay? And they brought the Ark of the Covenant and put it next, the Bible says, next at the bottom of the pedestal of Dagon. Now, Dagon is a monster. Dagon is a freak of nature. Dagon is ugly. Dagon is half man and the rest of the body is fishtail. You know, like a male mermaid. How ugly can that be, you know? Male mermaid. And he's on his pedestal, elevated, and they worship, they bow down, and they worship something which man actually was never intended to. Oh, are you with me? You see, those two cases, like with Dagon and with Ezekiah, you know, that was our former state of being. Because this temple had the wrong thing on the inside. But praise God, God came, cleansed it, and now he's putting the right thing. And this right spirit in you, right mind will bring right behavior, right action, acts and deeds into your life will follow, praise God. Because he becomes the source, not the consequence. He is working from the inside out, say amen. Never from the outside in. You can change everything. You can change the building. You can change this or that. If it doesn't start from the inside, it will never be effectual. Oh, praise God, he is going right into your heart. Thank you, Jesus. And changing that dead spirit and giving you a new spiritual nature. So what happened in that day? Day one, they bring the Ark of the Covenant into their temple and put it next to Dagon. Next day, second day, okay? They go in the temple. And they are totally shocked to see. First time in the history of their life, you know, and the Philistines worship, whatever, you know, Dagon is fallen from the pedestal on his face. And pay attention to the terminology the Bible is giving us. Before the Ark of the Covenant. Yes. On his face. Before the Ark of the Covenant. That is an act of God No human power, no human, you know, action was involved. And they go like, oh, freaking out. And they got it, man's help, amen, man's arms, man's strength, got up, you know, Dagon, put it back on the pedestal, a little, you know, napkin wipes, you know, the dust, and he got some chips, he got some, you know, being used and abused a little bit, but they put some gorilla, you know, glue, and they were sure that he's not falling anymore, okay? And he's a little, you know, twisted, but he will get better maybe. Day two. Are you with me? Day three. Every time you see day three in the Bible, pay attention. Because there is no greater day three. And never God has been interested of any other day three than the one appointed for the resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. Every time the Bible points to day three, speaks of new life, resurrection, and points to Jesus Christ who overcame death and sin and Satan, the serpent. And you see, day three, they go in a regular way, and they were kind of, you know, not even expecting that this, what happened yesterday, will happen again, because they wanted to be sure that, you know, Dagon will stay there. Oh no. Not only Dagon was not there, not only Dagon was fallen again, but this time it went further. Because, come on folks, it's day three. One of the greatest sermons ever preached, you know, in this nation, historically, a black guy preached, it's Friday, but Sunday is coming. You know that sermon. Oh, you can find it on YouTube. It's amazing. It's Friday. It's dark. Peter is confused. John is weeping. But Sunday is coming. Okay, day three. Sunday is coming. Dagon is fallen. Ha-ha. Divine act of judgment in the temple exercised over that old deity and ruler over your heart. God's grip and judgment is upon him, brought down, and now the Bible says his head chopped off, and the palm, his hands, the palms from the wrists on the threshold of the temple. Isn't that amazing? Day three, Jesus rose from the dead, and that old prophecy which was spoken in the very beginning from the mouth of God the Creator in the garden, you will bruise his heel, he will chop off your head, he will crush your head. And you see Jesus on the cross, they found artifacts of the bones of people who went through crucifixion, you know, and they find these bones pierced by a nail, and actually the way they would affix the feet of the victim and nailed it, when the nail goes through the heel. And actually that's what happened, because they pierced my feet and my hands. Jesus was nailed to the cross by a nail, you know, which went through his heel, and he was wounded and bruised. But in his death and his resurrection, praise God, he brought total destruction over the everything, power, authority, personality, whatever, you know, over our enemy, the serpent, and bruised his head. Irrecoverably, I mean forever and ever, he will remain destroyed, you know, before the Lord. And you see, that's what happened picturally in the Old Testament in that temple. Remember, we were temples of evil. We were not born being Christians and holiness on the inside. for some, you know, we inherited that being fallen from the first Adam. You don't become sinner. You become sinner because being born sinner. You see, you don't have a little child to lie. It's in them. Sooner or later, they will surprise you. Where you've learned that? Where you've heard that? Oh, 6,000 years ago, you know, it came from my forefather, Adam. Just joking, but you know, it's true. And God came on the inside into this and occupied you. And with this occupation, he destroyed the former owner of this house, the former dweller of this house. And he goes like, I don't like this smell anymore. There is a new owner. And he goes like, I want a different color. I want a new carpet. And you become entirely new creation. Praise God for the praise of his glory. He destroyed death through death, Hebrews says. He destroyed your enemy. Isn't it amazing that this Dagon, you know, his head was chopped up and his the palms from the, which means I have come, or doesn't say I have come, it says the Son of God manifested so he can destroy the works of the devil. So how is the devil still operating? Because the people yielding to him, but not me and you, praise God. We are not yielding anymore to this ugly male mermaid, you know. We don't have to, praise God. Almost ready to finish. We Pentecostals never finish actually, but we just pretend. Great story, and I will finish with that, honestly. Let's jump a little bit for joy. He makes me jumping for joy. Thank you, Jesus. I want to be happy preacher, happy believer, happy Christian. Ha ha ha. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There is a story in the book of Judges which speaks about Samson, who brought great victory and destruction over the enemy's camp of the Philistines by using a donkey's jawbone. Do you remember that story? It's famous in the Bible. He didn't have a weapon. He found these still fresh, which was not dried up and fragile, still fresh, and with with the bone of this donkey's jaw, you know, he slain thousands of Philistines. Amazing story. And then he got so exhausted, it was a heavy job, you know. He got so exhausted, it was hot, and he got so thirsty that he was almost at the brink to faint. And he cried out with his voice to the Lord. And the Bible is telling us this. I don't know which chapter. I have the verse only, 18, verse 18. And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. And now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? But God clave a hallow place that was in the jaw, and this is the King James, and there came water there out, and when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Therefore he called the name it's a Hebrew name, which is in Lehi, which means the well of the crying out, the well of the one who cries out. Okay, and the Lord gave me some understanding on the foundation of this story. You see, first is the victory, then is pouring out water, and God is opening a new hallowed place. He stroke the spot where Samson was and went so deep and opened the heart of the earth, you know, so water, a fresh well was formed and gushed out and became a well further on, you know, for the nation of Israel, famous with the name the well of the one who cries out to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? God, that's mind-blowing, folks. God's power operating in such a great manner. And you see, there was a hallowed place in you. Yes, and when Jesus brought this great victory over our enemies, we were not left to die from thirst, you know, but he opened a new well right into you. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that amazing? The well of the crying out, the shouting out to the Lord. God will pierce your midst. God will pierce your hollow place on the inside of your heart and spirit. Will create a new well. And he said, whoever believes in me, rivers of living water shall proceed out. And if you are thirsty, whoever is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Absolutely amazing what is taking place after the victory of Jesus in our midst. Rivers of living waters are flowing out, which are actually the substance, which are the everything your life has to be related to, comes and proceeds out of this inner sanctuary. That's so beautiful, precious people. That's so beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Shall I die from thirst? No, we are not gonna die. You see, a preacher was invited to preach in Texas. Okay, that was during the 50s, the 40s, 50s, yeah. And they warned him that the people in the church, you know, are not very intellectual, you know, stuff like that. So he said, the pastor said to the guest speaker, preach the simplest message possible, okay? Make it as simple as possible. Don't go with theology and stuff like that because they won't get it. And he came, I'm just telling you a story which is very interesting. And he came to that, he went to that church. But there was an Indian guy, you know, and his wife coming to the church. Okay, the wife was a believer, converted, but she didn't have a driving license. So the husband will drive her. And the husband like 6.5 big, huge guy, you know. And he was not good. I mean, he was an alcoholic. And he would get demonized and will from time to time he would get upset and the demons will drive him to rise in the church and start destroying pulpits and chairs and stuff like that. And several times he has done that in such a manner that police will come, but 2-3 cars of policemen had to come to tame him down, you know, because he was so huge and so crazy, you know. And this time when the preacher went there, it happened that this guy is still there, you know, in the church. And he started preaching that simple message. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay? And he's trying to really keep it simple. At one moment, the Indian guy stood up. And all the people from the congregation got terrified. My goodness, here we go again. Now the storm is coming. Okay, and he's heading right to the pulpit, you know, and they start, you know, like kneeling down and just hiding their heads from, you know, pulpits flying around and all kind of things like that. But he went on right on the front, fell on his knees and cried out with a loud voice, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And he stood up and then all of the, you know, elders and deacons and people, they realized he went and actually repented. And they're running down because he's turning around, going, trying to go back to make it back to his seat. And they're stopping him. No, no, come back. We need to pray for you. We need to, the protocol, whatever it was for someone to receive Jesus. And he goes like, what for? And they go, wow, we need to pray for you. And he said, no, I am a new person. I am a new creation. It's in the book. Whoever calls upon the name, the preacher said it. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. I'm saved. I cried out. Didn't you hear? I cried out with a loud voice, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Isn't that amazing how it worked in this case? From that moment, he became the biggest, the greatest evangelist for the whole area. He was never the same anymore. And I'm telling you, the power of God sets a new beginning into your life and destroys the former owner of our little world. Let us pray this morning and invite the power of God in the face of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If you struggle with something, let's say fear, guilt, shame, or just you're discouraged, or you just want to be empowered, I invite you, come forth. This is the time to call upon the name of the Lord. And I'm telling you, it's God's promise. God's promise that you'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. Father, we thank you. We bow down and kiss the Son. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We don't kiss the wrong image anymore. We kiss the right one, the glorious one, the beautiful one, and the one for whom the whole heaven cries out, holy, holy, holy. We kiss your holiness this morning, and we turn and we become as you. And we praise and we worship like Jehoshaphat this morning, the beauty of his holiness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm ready to pray for you, Pastor John.